Are you ready for this?
Ready.
All right. The Lord hit me with something here. Whenever he hits me with something, it turns out right. How many know when the Lord moves you in the spirit, amen, and you start searching, you find out it's a good thing, Lord, you brought my attention to this, because for years I preached on this, but something hit me. And I saw in 1 John 5 and 4, for whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory. All right, we've heard this sermon, you've heard preachers preach it, you've heard me preach it. But that's why we started School of the Prophets, because God has given us a new anointing. You can't understand the scripture unless it's given to you by the Holy Spirit, because Jesus told them in his day, he said, you search the scriptures. You search the scriptures, you're looking for truth. And he said, the scriptures that you search and testify of me. The scriptures that you search testify of him, but yet you can't accept him. You can't accept me and the very things you're searching for in the scripture. And they searched it. The Pharisees, the Sadducees, they were very studious. And he said, you're searching for it, but you can't find it, because it has to be revealed by the Spirit of God. So it's more than just reading the Bible. People say, well, I want to read the Bible through. Reading the Bible is not going to help you. You got to study the Bible, but if you don't study it with the Holy Spirit as your instructor, how many know the Holy Spirit is an instructor? Because Jesus said when the Holy Spirit comes, he's going to lead you and he's going to guide you and he's going to show you. Amen. He's going to lead you and he's going to guide you and he's going to show you things to come. Do you believe that? I want you to say, uh-huh. Thank you. You know, when somebody's talking to you, you go, You listen, On the phone, you go, Yeah, tell me more, Well, that's the way you should get excited about the things of God. Here's what Jesus said. You search the scripture. For in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. Now, how does that read, Kevin, in the Living Bible in John, the 5th chapter? And the 39th verse, how does it read?
You search the scriptures, for you believe they give you eternal life. And the scriptures point to me. Yet you won't come to me so that I can give you this life eternal.
Read on.
Your approval or disapproval means nothing to me.
Your approval or disapproval don't affect God. Some people think, well, I'm not going to serve God. Well, it don't affect him. You don't want to serve him? It ain't going to bother him. God is not going to have nervous breakdown. People think, oh, well, I'm going to do God a favor. I'm going to serve him. You don't do God favors. Your approval or your disapproval don't affect God. So what happened?
Your approval or disapproval means nothing to me. For as I know so well, you don't have God's love within you.
You don't have it.
43rd verse. I know, because I have come to you representing my Father, and you refuse to welcome me, though you readily enough receive those who aren't sent from him, but represent only themselves.
Only represent themselves. Isn't that strange? People will accept a stranger. They'll accept somebody they don't know. And Jesus said, you were searching the scripture, looking for eternal life. I'm the one you've been looking for. I'm here, and you don't know me. And he said, I'm not even talking about myself. That's how you know it's from God. When you hear people say, I, those are the I wills, you know, like Lucifer, I will ascend my throne above the stars of God, the five I wills of Satan. I will. So Jesus didn't talk about himself. Who did he talk about, Kevin, in the 43rd verse?
He was talking about his Father.
He was talking about who?
the Father.
There ain't too many people that talk about the Father, is there? They usually talk about themselves, or they talk about, they really don't even talk about themselves because they don't have much to say about themselves. So they talk about somebody else, and that don't do you any good because it's not in a good way anyway. But Jesus said, I'm talking to you about my Father. I'm not looking to build my kingdom here. So what did he say?
He said in the 44th verse, no wonder you can't believe.
Because you seek honor from man.
Right.
That's why people cannot believe. Because they are looking for honor from man. What does it say? Read on.
For you gladly honor each other.
Uh-huh.
But you don't care about the honor that comes from the only God.
Can you say uh-huh?
Uh-huh.
Looking for honor from one another. So read on.
45th verse. Yet it is not I who will accuse you of this to the Father. Moses will. Moses, on whose laws you have set your hopes of heaven. For you have refused to believe Moses.
Uh-huh. Can you say, uh-huh?
Uh-huh.
They didn't believe Moses. The word preached to them wasn't mixed with faith. They died in the wilderness. It has to be mixed with something, and the only way you can mix it has to be the Holy Spirit. That's what faith is. Faith is a gift from God. Say, faith is a gift. You don't work it up. You can't work faith up. We're not here working you up when these musicians are playing. They're not here working you up. In the world, you can work people up. Hello? You can excite them. They'll stand for hours at a concert. People come to church and they sit on their blessed assurance. Some of you didn't hear me. They sit on their blessed assurance. But you go to rock concerts, they don't have seats. Everybody's standing, clapping. They're looking for a good time. They get excited. We've got something to get excited about here. Can you say praise the Lord? And the Lord is coming back for a church that is full of excitement. He's coming back. That's what David said, I believe to see. He didn't say I'm going to see to believe. He says I believed before I saw it. How many believe before you see it? He said, I believe to see the goodness of God in the land of living. You know what he was saying in the land of living? He meant in the midst of a lively congregation. Everyone say, in the midst of a lively congregation. That's where you're going to find the Lord. I believe to see. Some people want to see to believe. But he says, I believe it. Before I see it, because believing is a feeling. Can you say amen? I said it's something that you feel with inside that you just know that you know. When you're pregnant, no one has to tell you. Does anyone have to tell you when you're pregnant? You know it before others know it. And then you tell someone, well, I'm going to tell you a little secret. Huh? It might go for several months, right? Oh, and the woman, you know, and the woman, they're so proud. Wow, I'm pregnant now. But I'm not going to tell anybody. It's my secret. How many know you got a secret tonight? When you dwell in the secret place of the Most High God, some people don't dwell in that secret place. You know what the secret place is? Tell them, Evelyn.
It's the direct communication with the Lord.
Amen. It's not talking about going to hide in a closet somewhere. Some people say, well, I'm going to do my praying in secret. The Lord says if you do pray in secret, he rewards you openly. You'll come to joy with the blessing. You'll come to the house of God with the blessings. He said if you are hiding in your closet and you are seriously praying, he said I'll reward you openly. Paul said, I pray in tongues more than y'all. He had to be from Oklahoma or from the south somewhere. He said, I pray in tongues more than y'all. But he said, when I come to church, he says, I come there so I can edify somebody. Can you say hallelujah? And that word edify means to build up. And when you build somebody up, it makes them capable of managing money. I'll say, I don't believe that. Well, check 1 Corinthians 8:1 out. It says, knowledge puffeth up, but charity edifieth. So look up the word edify. Some people think edify means jumping up and down or doing a backflip. That ain't what edifying is. That don't pay your bills. I said, that don't pay your bills when you jump up and down and you have to pay at the gas pump. Hello, when you have to pay at the supermarket, when you got a dentist bill to pay. That don't pay your bill. What does that word edify mean in 1 Corinthians 8:1?
It means to be a fiscal manager or a money manager.
To be a fiscal or a money manager. When you get built up in the spirit, like Solomon, he was built up. And the Lord said, what do you want, son? He said, I want understanding. God says, good, I'm going to give you money. No, some of you didn't hear me. Oh, don't talk about money, Pastor. That's not spiritual. Well, you better argue with God. You better go argue with God, because all he asked for was, I want to go to school to the prophets. I want to go down and I want to hear that word with the rest of the prophetic church. Lord said, no. He said, I'm going to give you money. Everybody say money.
Money.
He didn't ask for it, but he was built up. And when you are built up, how is he built up? Because that day in secret, everybody say in secret. He offered up 1,000 burnt offerings in secret. He had a communication with God. Everybody wants the blessing, but they don't want to do in secret. You know why God blessed David? Because his name wasn't on the temple. It was called Solomon's temple. Some people are not going to give unless you step into the elevator like you go in some of these hospitals. This elevator was dedicated by so-and-so. I won't mention any names, but I could. You see the names. This wing was dedicated by so-and-so. How much did David give of his own money, Barry, to build Solomon's temple?
$5 billion.
Did you hear that? His own money. Say his own money.
His own money.
Was his name on it? No. It wasn't called David's temple. Unless people get recognition from man, you know, they're not going to do it. You know, you got to have schmoozes in the church. The pastor has to come around and he has to do honey do this and honey do that. This ain't a honeydew church, baby. You don't have any honeydews here. Hello? Call them schmoozes, you know. They got that way of nudging up to you, making you feel how important you are. And my Lord, that's why no honey could be used in any sacrifice. No honey was to be used in a sacrifice, because when heat hits the honey sours. Are you getting the massage? Hello? When you're going to go around doing it by the work of man, you're going to have a lot of sour people around. That's why I'd rather have God add to the church. Can you say amen? I said, when God adds to the church, you're going to have joy. Going to have blessings. But when man adds to the church, you're going to have a lot of sour people around. Oh, they'll attend church. But the joy of the Lord ain't their strength. The honey is their strength. Honey do this and honey do that. Thank God this ain't a honeydew church. Can you say praise the Lord? Amen. No honey to be used in any of the sacrifices. So when David said, I believe to see the goodness of God in the land of the living, look up the land of the living, and it's talking in the midst of a lively congregation. Is that how it reads, Evelyn?
Yes, it's a lively, fresh, strong congregation. One who's running, springing like a troop.
One who's running,
springing
like a spring chicken. You know what happens to old hens? They make soup out of them. You know what happens to old roosters? They make soup out of them. Hello? Then you have the sitting hens. You know what a sitting hen is? How many farmers we have here tonight? A sitting hen is one that goes, bark, 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 bark. And the reason why they're doing that when they're in their nest is because they laid an egg. But a sitting hen is one that doesn't lay an egg, but's making a lot of noise. And when you go get the egg, there's nothing there. And you know what that hen is good for? Soup. They call them sitting hens. They're useless. They make a lot of noise. They're in the nest. And they're bark, 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 bark. Hello? That's why they're crowing. Like, you know, when a woman says, hey, I got something to tell you. What? I'm pregnant. Really? Oh, it's 3 months now. But when the Lord gets you pregnant, Elizabeth went and hid herself. But the angel told Mary where Elizabeth was hiding. Hallelujah. I said the angel told Mary where Elizabeth was hiding. You know why she was hiding? Because years back, you know, when someone was pregnant, you wanted to cover it up because people knew what you were doing. That's true, the Victorian age. You had to cover yourself up. And 2,000 years ago, it was even worse. But the angel told Mary where Elizabeth was and even told Mary that she was 6 months pregnant. You see, folks, we are living in the sixth day. Everybody say sixth day. Yeah, people got to get these numbers in their mind because it has a significance. You see, it was the sixth month when Mary visited her. And this is the end of the sixth day that we are living in. Man was created on what? What day was man created on?
Sixth day.
What day?
Sixth.
Sixth day. How many hours did Jesus hang on the cross? 6 hours. You follow that number six all through the Word of God. It's the number of a man. The mark of the beast, 666. The website, www, represents 666 because the letter W in Hebrew is the number six. Everyone say 666. So every time you go on www, if you have any understanding, it's letting you know that that is the beginning of the mark of the beast. You're not going to be able to buy or sell. They have your number, honey. What does W represent, Barry?
If you look up S-I-X in the Hebrew, in the concordance in the back of your Strong's concordance, it looks just like a W. So when you say 666, it's www.
When you say 666, it's www. And Elizabeth was 6 months pregnant and Mary saluted her. I got good news. The angel of the Lord is going to start revealing secrets unto you. He is going to send you to places. This is why he is preparing you, just like Philip when he was in Samaria and there was a great revival. The angel of the Lord says, I don't want you here anymore. I want you to go to Gaza. He didn't ask the Lord, why am I going? You know what Paul always say, why? Why do I have to do this? Why are you always asking? Just do it. That's what Mary said. I don't understand it, but be it unto me according to thy word. Didn't Mary say that? I don't know how it's going, but be it unto me according to thy word. And Philip goes down to Gaza. He didn't know why he was even going. Didn't know. Didn't have the faintest idea why he had to go to Gaza. He's in a great revival. And the Lord says, hey, I got some mission to send you on. Mission impossible. And there is a eunuch sitting in the chariot reading the Bible. What was that eunuch doing there, Kevin?
He had gone up to Jerusalem from Ethiopia. He was the treasurer, and he had gone up to worship there in Jerusalem.
He was the treasurer for who?
The queen.
Candace. He was the treasurer for the queen. You know why it says it was a eunuch? See, in that day, when you went to church and you were dedicated, well, they made sure you were dedicated. Folks are going to be dedicated. Lord, I surrender all. They don't surrender much. Don't surrender. Oh, I surrender until I surrender. Oh, what a bunch of nonsense. That day when you surrendered, they made you a eunuch. If you want to know what the eunuch is, it's a person that's castrated. That's what it meant by a eunuch. That's why he was taking care of the money for the queen. because the queen knew he wasn't going to go running around town spending his money on somebody else. Can you say hallelujah? This is school of the prophets, folks. Either you like it or you don't. That's why the church, can't receive from the Lord and don't have visions and revelations, because they don't want truth. They want someone to schmooze them, Confusion. Some people think that when they're confused, it's spiritual, and the blind are leading the blind, and they both fall into the ditch. We got a lot of confused people going to church, and they think it's God, because they don't understand it. Well, when it's God, you will understand it. Philip didn't question it, and when he got there, the Lord says, now, you see that chariot over there? There's a man there that you're going to talk to him about me. And he goes and he tells him about Jesus. And the eunuch says, hey, let's have a water baptismal service right here. How do you get water in the desert? But God even prepared the water for a baptismal service. He didn't sprinkle him, he baptized him. When you die, they don't sprinkle you with dirt, honey. They bury you. And that's what baptism is, buried with him in baptism. Can you say hallelujah? Raise the newness of life. You don't sprinkle dirt on people, you bury them. And that's what baptism is, buried. And that's what Naaman had to do with leprosy. He had to dip 7 times in the water. Here was a man that was a leader, a man that had an army under him. And when Elijah told him to go and jump in the River Jordan, he said, wait a minute, you know who I am? How come you don't come out and pray for me? Because Elijah was watching Gene Profeta on television. We already on tonight at 7:30. We already had one service before this. I can't come out. I'm watching Profeta on television. Don't go jump in the River Jordan. I can't do that. That's not for me to do. Finally, he said, hey, you want a miracle? If the man tell you go dip 7 times, why do we have to make serving God so difficult? The more difficult it is, the more spiritual. The more confused we are, the more spiritual we think it is. The word was made for the simple to understand. Can you say hallelujah? And Jesus prayed in Matthew 11 chapter. He says, I thank thee, O Father, that you've hid these secrets from people that think they know it all. Some people have the impression God is begging people to serve him with his hat in his hand and begging you, please serve me. God isn't begging you to serve him. Jesus said, I thank thee, O Father. Think of that. People say, oh my, he should have called people and had a prayer meeting and prayed the devil out of those people. No, Jesus, I'm glad they're not going to be with us in heaven. I'm glad they're not going to be there with us in heaven. What do you think is prayer? I'll read it to you. People don't, they don't get it. Don't, no comprende, no compicio. Matthew 11 chapter, Jesus said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you've hid these things from the wise and the prudent, and you have revealed them unto babes, even so, Father, for it seemed good in thy sight. Are you getting it tonight? Then the disciples said, why do you speak in parables? In Matthew 13 and 10. And the 11th verse, Jesus said, because it's given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. There are some people that God has not chosen. Rebecca said, if this pregnancy is of God, why the struggling going on? Because God says, I've chosen the younger one. And they were both in Rebecca's womb. They did nothing. They had nothing to do with the seed that was there. They had nothing to do with their birth, and they're struggling within the womb. And God says to Rebecca, he says, the elder is going to serve what? The elder is going to serve what? The younger. What was the Lord saying? He was saying, I did the choosing while they were in the mother's womb. He said, the elder will serve the younger. God does the choosing. Esau came out first. Jacob came out second and grabbed hold of his brother's heel on the way out. You see, this is what God is looking for. He's looking for people that will reach out in life and say, I'm going to be different. I'm going to reach out on Wednesday night and I'm going to go to school of the prophets. That you see, he was reaching out from birth. Then folks say, well, you know, kind of like Elijah's servant went up on the mountain while Elijah to look for the rain. And he was asked, you know, when you see the rain coming, tell me. He came back. I don't see nothing. Like a lot of people go to church. What happened tonight? Nothing. Nothing. Amen. If something ain't happening within you, I said, there's something wrong. I said, if alcohol can affect the fetus, then the Spirit of God affects the fetus also. Can you say amen? Aren't there signs when you go into these places and the bar that says alcohol affects the fetus? Well, when you're in the presence of God, it affects the fetus. It affects your life. It's a quickening spirit. Can you say hallelujah? You want to stay young? You want to stay wealthy? And you want to stay wise? You want to outlive your enemies? Some of you die before your enemies do because you're so angry in life. You want to get even. You don't have to get even. The Lord said, I will repay. How many know God is in the repayment business? Can you say amen? He said, vengeance is mine. He said, I'll do the repaying. He said, you just keep happy. He said, I'll take care of them like I did with Pharaoh. I'll take care of them with all those that were with Pharaoh, 600 chariots. I know how to do it. And you don't get in trouble that way either. This is the victory. This is the victory. Victory is success. Everybody say success. Now, that word overcometh means this. It's not talking of the present tense when you talk about overcoming. Because there was an asterisk mark near that word overcome. So when there's an asterisk mark there, it means it has a meaning that you have to look up. Not in the Webster's Dictionary. We looked it up in the original translation from the original Greek and Hebrew. And that word overcometh means that the Lord has overcome. It's already been done. The victory is the reason why we have faith. It isn't because we're trying to overcome. I can rejoice because the Lord won the battle for me. No, some of you didn't get it. That's the problem with people, you know. They're going to be so religious that they're going to do it themselves, kind of like Moses. He was going to go down and he was going to whip, you know, all of the Egyptians, and he was going to deliver them at the age of 40, and he found out he couldn't do it. He couldn't whip them, and he wasn't able to defeat them in themselves. He slays an Egyptian because they were whipping the Hebrews. And he's looking for help, and no one's around to help you. When you need help, folks, nobody's around to help you. When you're shouting and everything's all right, everybody's there. But when you're in a battle, he was looking for help. He wasn't looking to kill a man. They say, well, he purposely went. He was not premeditated murder. He went out there to deliver them. He wasn't going out to murder an Egyptian, but to save his life, because he interceded in the battle going on with the Egyptian and the Hebrews. He had to save his life. So to save his life, it was a fight that had to go on, and he killed the Egyptian and he buried him. You know what happened the next day? The very people he helped turned on him. He was saved one day. He was in church one day. And 40 years he spent in the wilderness. Are you getting the massage? That's the church world. Same with Jesus. You know, Peter said, oh, go with you to prison and death. The Lord says, Peter, I've already prayed the Father for you. The devil don't want you. He wants your faith. People think that the devil wants you. He don't want you. He don't want you. He wants your faith. Jesus said, I prayed the Father that your faith don't fail. He didn't say, Peter, I'm praying that you don't fail. All of you are a bunch of failures. And don't go around telling me that you're not. As long as you got an eraser on a pencil, you're a failure. They even have typewriters that self-correct today. Because they know you can't even spell right. Wish somebody would say praise the Lord anyhow. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory. And that word victory, success. This is the victory that overcometh. And that word overcometh is not a present tense. But it means that the victory has already been won by Christ prior to this point in time. So this is the victory. The reason why I can shout was because the Lord won the battle for me on Calvary. Hallelujah. He won the battle. Amen. The devil may take a few shots at you, but Paul said in Ephesians, after you've done all to stand, keep on standing. That means you're going to get knocked down a few times, but dust yourself off, pick yourself up, and keep on keeping on. Can you say hallelujah? This is the victory that overcometh. What is that word overcome? What did we find out? Was there an asterisk mark there, Evelyn?
Yes, there was.
And what did it say?
The word overcometh is in the present tense, which is incorrect. For when we looked it up, the real translation means that it's in the perfect tense. And there's a difference there, because that means that the action had already taken place prior to the present time. So that means that the victory had already been won by Christ prior to this present time.
It's already won. And because it's already won, that's why we can rejoice. Not because we are winning the battle. He won it for us. We're rejoicing because of what he has done for us. Can you say hallelujah?
Hallelujah.
And if God be for you, who can be against you? Come on and stand and praise the Lord. I said, if God be for you, who can be against you? Turn to someone and say, the struggle is over.
The struggle is over.
And the struggle is over.
The struggle is over.
Oh, hallelujah. Go ahead and praise him and praise him and praise him. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. We praise you, Lord. We praise you, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We praise you, Lord. We praise you, Lord. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. You may be seated. You can't work the victory up in yourself. People think, well, if I work it up and I go out and I overcome today, then I can shout. No. That ain't what the victory. You're shouting because Jesus already won it for you. But you know, the church, that's how cults thrive. Because people in the flesh want to do it themselves. They want to feel like they earned it. You don't earn salvation. Salvation is a gift from God, not of works. Not of works. Lest any man should boast. How's it read the Living Bible, Kevin? I don't even know. 1 John 5 and 4. What does it say?
It says in the Living Bible, 1 John 5 and 4, for every child of God can obey him, defeating sin and evil pleasure by trusting Christ to help him. That's how it read.
They kind of watered it down.
Yeah.
Because they didn't get into the meat of the word overcome. So it said what, Evelyn, when we looked that up, the asterisk mark was there, is what?
Right. The asterisk mark actually changes the verb from a present tense to a perfect tense. And there is a difference. Because the word overcometh in the present tense means that we overcome right now in the current hour that we're living in this day. But when you change it to the perfect tense, it means that the victory had already been overcome or had been won by Christ on Calvary.
Shout! 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 The Lord died on the cross. I said the graves were opened. Did you hear me? And after he rose from the dead, it said those that were buried appeared to many in the city. How would you like it if folks that had passed on come walking into church tonight? Some of you would die of a heart attack. Well, I said, hey, the graves were open. There was a whole lot of shaking going on. And it said those that were in the grave, a shaking took place. And those that were asleep, those that were dead, came to life. And when Jesus came out of that grave, they were shouting down Jerusalem Avenue. Can you say hallelujah? Praising the Lord on Jerusalem Avenue. Get that, Kevin, where they came up out of the graves.
It's Matthew 27.
Read it for us.
It says in the 50th verse, Jesus shouted out, and he dismissed his spirit, and he died.
He shouted what? It
says he shouted out.
He shouted out. Everybody say, amen. Yeah. Glory. Glory. Yet in some churches, they'll throw you out. As they did to Bartimaeus. Wanted him to keep quiet, making too much noise. But the man needed a miracle. Can you say amen? The woman with the issue of blood needed a miracle. She was like Jacob coming out of the mother's womb, reaching out. He took hold of Esau's heel, reaching out for a miracle. She reached out and she took hold of the hem of his garment. When you make an effort to reach out and to receive from the Lord, I said, get ready. He said, what do you need, Bartimaeus? He said, I want to receive my sight. What do you need tonight? I said, what do you need tonight? So what happened? He shouted, Kevin?
Yes, he shouted out, or he cried with a loud voice.
A loud voice. Go ahead.
And he yielded up his spirit, and he died.
Mm-hmm.
And look, the veil in the holy place in the temple was split apart from the top to the bottom.
Now, you know why it said from the top to the bottom? Because it shows you that man has nothing to do with you entering into the Holy of Holies. If a man had to rip the veil, they'd have to rip it from the bottom up. But if you learn and let the Holy Spirit reveal these truths, that's why he said it was ripped from the top to the bottom. God did the ripping. Can you say hallelujah? Did it say it was ripped from the bottom up, Kevin?
No, top to bottom.
It was ripped from where?
Top to bottom.
From where?
Top to bottom.
God did the ripping. Man, there's nothing in what you do to enter into the Holy of Holies. Amen. We all, tonight, are priests. No, some of you didn't hear me. I said, you're all priests tonight. The sheep don't come here because sheep follow the goats. You're out of the sheepfold tonight. David was anointed, wasn't he? He used to be a sheep herder, but he was anointed by Samuel. Was he anointed? And because of the anointing, he became a leader. And that's what the anointing does. You don't follow the goats, you become a leader. Can you say hallelujah? You know who you are, and you know where you're going. The anointing makes you a leader. But when you're a leader, you're going to be shot at. Ahab knew that. Ahab knew as a king when he went out to battle, they were going to shoot at him. What did he do, Kevin? Did he disguise himself?
Yes, he actually contacted King Jehoshaphat and said, I want you to help me go to battle. And he actually tricked Jehoshaphat, and Jehoshaphat was wearing, I think, his clothes.
You see what people will do to you? They lie to you. They lie to you. They lied to you. I love you truly. Some of you had a lot of lies, truly, dear. Life with its sorrow. We're going to learn that song here. That was an old favorite when everyone got married years ago. There was one fellow, as I used to travel all the churches, everyone had to get this one man and this one woman. They were like the ones that could sing, "I love you truly." If you had them there singing, boy, you were going to make it to heaven. You're going to have a great marriage if they were there singing, "I love you truly." You had to have them. Man will lie to you. Or you're getting a massage. So did Ahab lie to Jehoshaphat, Kevin?
Yes, he said, "I'm going to disguise myself, but you put on your kingly robes."
Yeah, "I'm going to disguise myself, but you go out." Because they're going to shoot at the leader. Do you get it? When you got the anointing, get ready to be shot at. Some folks say, "Well, I'm a good Christian. Nothing ever happens to me." You may not make it to heaven either. Paul said, "No, let no man trouble me, for I bear on my body the marks of the Lord Jesus." What he was saying, my credentials to get into heaven are the scars on my body. Though some of you didn't hear me. I said, your credentials to get to heaven are the scars in your body. If you won a battle and you kept on going, get ready for another one. He said, "I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus." Don't trouble me. Turn to someone and say, "Leave me alone." You got your scars, don't you? They're your scars, aren't they? You earned it. Say, "I've earned them."
I've earned them.
So Paul said, "I bear in my body the scars, the marks of the Lord Jesus." I've earned it. And I'm going to make it in. And didn't he say he fought with the beast, Kevin?
He said, "I fought with the beast at Ephesus."
In Ephesus. Know what Ephesus is? Ephesus was the church. Where there once was a great revival, but then it backslid. And the first church the Lord talks to in the book of Revelation is the church Ephesus, where they lost their first love. It said they left. They didn't lose it. They left their first love. He says, "I have somewhat against it. You've left your first love." When you left something, you know you left it. When you lose something, you didn't know you lose it. They left it. And when people lose their love, they fight. And Paul said, "I fought with the beast at Ephesus." He was talking about backslidden church members. Are you here? No, some of you didn't hear me. Are you here? Say, "Aha! Oh-ho! Aha!" Oh, that's good. This makes the devil mad. He don't want you to have any scars. Like, oh, that's a sin to have a scar on your body. Amen. So what happened, Kevin? I was going to say something, but I'm not.
With the resurrection or with Paul?
let's do them getting out of the grave. That's exciting. I like exciting things.
It says Matthew 27, 51st verse. It says, "The curtain which secluded the holiest place in the temple was split apart from top to bottom."
From top to bottom. This should excite you when you read that. Does this excite you? If you won the lottery, would you be excited tonight? I wish somebody wouldn't pay your tithes here. God ain't going to bless you unless you get excited. Amen. Get all excited. Go tell everybody Jesus Christ is Lord. Get excited. Go tell everybody. Tell them what? What are you going to tell them? Jesus Christ is what? You know what David said? "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." When you know him as Lord and Master, he said, you will not want. Glory. Do you feel what I feel?